The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to eighth time. Let's get their work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth C. Payne, also known as Pope Zaza. What's going on, my
friend?
That's
right. Yeah, the Pope Zaza. I gotta start leaning into that more, especially if I continue to feel the way that I've felt after some of these Texans losses. I gotta lean hard into some kind of WWE type character or something.
It's the first time.
This ain't cutting it, man.
No, this is the first time. I think this Lions game. You know, if we're maybe admitting that maybe Pope Zaza has some ESP or some foresight type skills.
Yeah.
You've been very, very good. Since you started giving predictions a couple weeks into the season, you've been very, very good at the very least about being on the right side of the total over under.
Yeah.
When many have not, including myself, I'm trying to remember what your prediction was for the Lions and the Texans, if this is the first crack in the armor for you, because it was the total was 49.5 and it went barely under.
Right. Yeah. No, I had predicted, I had originally predicted 28-17, then I revised it upward to, I think, 28-19.
Okay, so you were still on the right side of it.
Yeah.
So the streak continues. You are Pope Zaza. The streak continues.
That's right, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. How you feeling this morning?
I feel actually pretty good. You know what? The fun thing yesterday was seeing, if you set aside thinking about Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud and everybody else for the moment, just kind of seeing all the various people who break down film gushing about the Texans' defense. And despite the letdown finally in the fourth quarter, a lot of people were really impressed that the Texans were able to make the Lions struggle as much as they did.
Yeah.
And especially against the run, the really good stretches they had against the run, you know, until the screens and everything else took hold in the fourth quarter. They play like kamikazes. They fly around, the defensive backs come up and run support, and it's impressive. You just gotta hope the offense figures it out.
Yeah, I think it's kind of scary and fun about the rest of the season, but unlike last season where, you know, they're 6-4, same exact point in the season, they're 6-4. But you look at the schedule the rest of the year, and there were really no games or quarterbacks on the schedule at that point because you'd played Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow already, and even Baker Mayfield. Like, he was probably the third best quarterback you played last year. At this point in the season, the quarterbacks that were remaining were like Russell, like ragged, ratchet ass Russell Wilson version, Zach Wilson, Will Levis a couple of times. Joe Flacco, at this point last year, Joe Flacco wasn't even on the Browns. You know what I mean? And so there weren't any games the rest of the year where you were going to get a real litmus test for what this defense was. You still got Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes within 4 days of each other on the schedule between now and the end of the year. So I think that's kind of it's exciting. How exciting it is will be dictated by how they do over the next 3 or 4 weeks, you know? But at the very least, this is a team that's going to be in the playoffs. And the Lions, I think, are a measuring stick. But those two teams are also measuring sticks that you're for sure going to have to get. If you win a playoff game, you're probably going to have to get through one of those two teams to get to the AFC title game. So that's kind of cool. Like I think that they did what they did, as you're pointing out, against the Lions is really, really cool. I think as you look ahead in the schedule the rest of the year, that there's Chiefs and Ravens both on the schedule. We'll just have a much clearer view of what this Texans team is going into the postseason than maybe we had of what last year's team was going into the postseason, their capabilities are.
I've still got PTSD from the Ravens, not just from last year, but from various injuries I've suffered at their hands before. Mm-hmm. But that 1-2 punch they have, I mean, you're getting Lamar Jackson at MVP level with Derrick Henry, all of that. But like,
better this year.
I'm almost worried about Pat Mahomes because he's playing like a lesser version of Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers, his only good game this year, or at least his only good game over the last 6 or 7 games against the Houston Texans. This defense still does have the ability to somehow bring out the best in either Zach Wilson's or Aaron Rodgers, whichever end of the spectrum you're on of awfulness.
Yeah. This season, I almost want to give the defense a pass for anything that happens in the second half of games because the offense just does them no favors. You know, the offense like doesn't stay on the field in the second half of games.
Yeah, except in the Jets game, it wasn't like that, though. It was the Texans came out and they just allowed a touchdown drive and then came out again.
Yeah, they got steamrolled. So DeMeco Ryans met with the media yesterday. Everything's pushed back a day this week. If you're someone who follows injury reports in the media cycle and press conferences and things like that, everything's pushed back a day because of Monday Night Football. So DeMeco had his Monday availability on Tuesday yesterday. They're off today, so there's no practice today. And then they practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So this is, like every week, we say it, this is a key injury report week. He was asked about Nico Collins yesterday a couple times, DeMeco Ryans was. Here's sort of an amalgamation, a montage of his answers about the status of Nico Collins.
No setback with Nico. That was just a game-time decision. Yeah, I anticipate him practicing. Anytime you get a starting receiver back, and Nico, a guy who's been, you know, before he was out, he was the top receiver in the league. So I think anytime you get him back, it's going to help everybody.
Okay, so no setback with Nico. I was bummed out. This is not a criticism. I'm just of the media. I was bummed out that there wasn't a follow up of could he have played on Sunday?
Yeah.
You know, like if this were a playoff game, would Nico Collins have been playing in the game? Like there, no setback sort of implies that, but I would love to have heard that from DeMeco.
And my guess would be that when it was no setback, it's that when they activated him Friday, they didn't. He said game time decision. I'm guessing that. I wish he hadn't said that. Yeah, was it a game time decision? Maybe for gamesmanship's sake, yes. But usually, what they've done with players is they practice them on Friday with the anticipation of not playing on Sunday, and then roll them into a full week the next week.
Yeah.
So I'm game time. That could mean many things. That could mean we considered 48 hours beforehand was game time.
Yeah, I'm not taking the game time part too seriously. I'm with you. Like you pointed out all along, like this is what they've done with guys. You know, it's not uncommon for them to have brought guys back at the end of the week just to get their dip their toes in the water, only for them to not play on Sunday. Like that's
and especially a couple guys, Foley Fatakasi and Dalton Schultz, had only practiced on Friday and then played that week, but it wasn't coming off of IR or anything like that.
Yeah. They were just dinged up. So that's the update on Nico. That's good news. I want them, as you know, Seth. It's not just good enough to go in and beat the Cowboys this Monday. They need to murder the Cowboys.
You want to embarrass the Cowboys.
I want to embarrass the Cowboys. They're embarrassable right now. We'll talk about this in the next segment. They're embarrassing and embarrassable right now.
Uh-huh.
And
with that also comes the great danger of the very capable of inflicting embarrassment upon us.
Who?
If you lose to a team like that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I know. That's anybody is right now. Like the Texans, the window is very. They could beat anybody and lose to anybody. But I need them to kill the Cowboys on Monday. I didn't like that. Like this is where when you're saying like I wish D'Amico hadn't sent game time decision, and I'm thinking to myself, well, he could be lying. You know what I mean about
right,
it being a
right.
game time
well, it
decision?
Is. It's lying, yeah, but it's coach speak. It's not lying. It's just coach speak.
Well, which is the lead into what we're going to hear from D'Amico next year. You know, like you can choose what you want to choose to take seriously as to what he says, you know, in terms of the honesty of it in these press conferences. Let's reset here. This was the play, one of the plays, that had the internet going crazy on Sunday night. This was a sack of C.J. Stroud in which Titus Howard, A, stops blocking in the middle of the play, and B, more importantly for purposes of this answer, tries to take the ball from C.J. Stroud and presumably go make a play, you know, because you got to get the ball in the hands of 71.
That's what they dreamed about. That's why you don't draft an offensive lineman in the first round unless
he can
make guys
miss. Yeah, so here's what it sounded like.
Stroud gets the snap. CJ with pressure. CJ scrambling out to the left, now back to the right, runs into Titus Howard. Ball comes out. Somebody's got to fall on it. Texans have it inside their 35-yard line. A disaster on third down.
Titus has got to stop watching and quitting on plays, watching the action when he gets himself beaten. That's what happens when you just stop and start watching and somebody's still playing. You're trying to get out of the way. You run right back into him.
It looked like Titus almost pulled the ball out trying to pull
CJ
with him.
Mark, it happens way too much.
Okay, looks like Titus almost pulled the ball out. No, he did pull the ball out. Yeah. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday when he was asked, what happened on that play, on that sack?
With that play, it was to start the play, we had an issue with the cadence. We all weren't on the same page with the cadence. A guy got off the ball quick. We were late off the ball, and they were able to get the sack on CJ. And not sure what happened. From my perspective, it looked like Titus was just trying to make sure he held CJ. And it's just something that, you know, he wasn't trying to take the ball, I would say, if you speculating there. He wasn't trying to take the football. He's just trying to protect CJ.
I totally disagree.
Okay. Let's investigate this.
Okay.
I myself, with every watch, grew more convinced that, yes, Titus was, like, actively stripping a ball from CJ.
Mm-hmm.
What if you watch that again, is there any possibility that CJ was actually trying to give the ball to Titus,
no.
And Titus, in trying to protect CJ from making a bad mistake, was saying, "No, CJ, I will not take it. This is your football."
How does the ball wind up on the ground, though? Like, how does the ball wind up flipping 10 feet to the left?
That's like when you're arguing, you know, when you're trying to give your toddler to your ex-spouse because you don't want it anymore for the weekend. You're like, no, you get it one more day.
And then the spouse goes...
The toddler falls to the ground.
Toddler goes flying, yeah.
Yes.
The toddler's just...
I can't do it. I need 12 more hours, lady.
The football
12 hours of solitude.
The football was just collateral damage in what was a... Like, Titus and CJ trying to protect one another.
Really, almost like a cautionary fable.
Okay.
Almost.
Now that we've workshopped this, do you believe one word of what you just said?
No. But I had to do the due diligence.
No, that's true.
The other side
for D'Amico. So. That's true. We owe it to D'Amico to at least explore the possibility that Titus wasn't trying to take the ball and go make a play right there.
Look, I have to walk a mile, and I have to walk a mile in D'Amico's shoes.
Yeah. Why? I'm assuming D'Amico knows that Titus was trying to take the ball. Why?
Unless he was trying to push it back.
Do you think maybe he asked Titus like what he was trying to do, and Titus is like, "Hey, I was just trying to protect CJ."
CJ's trying to give Titus the ball. Titus is like, "I don't know what play. What play? Run the two.
Yeah, right? Which gap am I supposed to run through?" Titus plants his foot and then goes out the backside. Yeah. So that was yesterday's.
I'll take care of your wife. Don't worry.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. So we talked a little about the Texans. We'll get back. D'Amico Ryans had some other important things to say. We'll get to at the top of the hour. But let's take a look in on the Texans' opponent this coming week. Thankfully, they're not playing during the day because apparently sunlight is a big home field advantage.
Vampires up in there.
It's a big home field advantage. And Jerry Jones on Micah Parsons' comments about Mike McCarthy. We got a lot to get to with our opponent on Monday, the Dallas Cowboys, and you'll hear from Jerry Jones coming up.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, as we peek in on the dysfunctional mess that is the Dallas Cowboys, It's nice to know that you play them on Monday night this week. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 610. 7:20 kickoff, pregame, Texans countdown Monday afternoon in the 4 o'clock hour. Seth and I have you for that. Here was Micah Parsons Sunday following the game. These were the comments that were sweeping the nation the last 2 days. This is Micah Parsons on the future of his head coach, Mike McCarthy.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
Okay, so, and we know Micah tried to walk it back, saying, hey, man, I was just trying to take up for my guys like Zach Martin. I didn't disrespect Mike McCarthy, all that. We don't need to play Micah on the podcast again.
The key part about that was just him saying that those guys had put in more work than Mike McCarthy ever did.
Ever did was the one that got, when he said ever did, there's a tone. But anyways, so here was Jerry Jones yesterday on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan up in Dallas. He goes on there, I believe, twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And he was asked about Micah's comments, and here's what he had to say.
I know that his deference, and I'm serious about this, this is a fact. It was not meant, no matter how it sounded, it was not meant as a critique of the coaches or the coach. It was meant as a concern for the veteran players, such as Zach Martin, that might not have that much more in their career left, and he is meant as a concern to them because they don't have the length of time to right the ship as much as a player like Mike or the younger players. That's how it was meant. There's no doubt in my mind it was meant that way. There's no game. Mike does not feel, and Mike does not feel a lack of appreciation for, of all people, our head coach, Mike. Micah does. Getting the Micah's messed up. But that's just not the case. I can tell you for a fact that is not the case. And I visited extensively with everybody involved here. That is not the case. It was an expression of being more concerned about a teammate.
Okay. Jerry brought everybody in, did the investigation. That's what
No. I think I honestly, well, and he basically said what Micah should have said, which was like, yeah, it was. It was dumb the way I said it. All right. Yeah, we all do it, right? But Micah kind of lashed out at the media at large and somehow taking it out of context or whatever. No, you phrased it wrong. And I know, I'm guessing you probably wouldn't consciously want to try to throw your coach under the bus. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he would. I agree with everything, Jerry. It's just funny that these are the fires they're having to put out right now.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Yeah, there's just all kinds of drama.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time. Sometimes it doesn't happen until the playoffs, but ever since the mid-90s, this is what happens. They collapse upon themselves.
Yeah, the other big thing, I listened to the whole interview. It's fun. Like, them getting Jerry Jones every week, he's like, it's very entertaining. The other big topic, this was more of a topic after the game on Sunday, between the Eagles and the Cowboys, a game in which the Eagles won 34-6, was the sunlight coming through the windows at Jerry World. You know, Jerry's been big on wanting that stadium to be an indoor stadium that feels like an outdoor stadium.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
The big thing.
Like they got into L.A. and all these new, newfangled stadiums.
Right, right. So the sun played a factor in that game, particularly on one play where it was in CeeDee Lamb's eyes, he couldn't see the ball. Just, you know, the ball falls to the ground in the end zone. Here was Jerry yesterday on the sunlight in his stadium.
Every venue has certain things that at certain ways and times in the contest can create an advantage. That really goes under the category of home field advantage. And so usually, and that's the case with us, that if there's a field, or in the case it's your home field, which it is of the Dallas Cowboys, it should be an advantage to the home team. So I don't want to adjust it for one reason, is because it is an advantage to us. Over the years, we've played 52 games that have anything to do with the time of year when that sun could be there, obviously eliminating night games and games where the sun is not wouldn't be involved. But we've had 52 games. We've won the majority of them. But more important than anything, we know where in basketball, we know where the dead spots are on the floor. That's our advantage. That should be our advantage. We get to play there more, and we get to have it as advantage. It has been an advantage for us to know where the sun is. I don't want to change that.
God, that's so good.
These guys, you think these other guys have heard of Copernicus? You think they know how to calculate where the sun's going to be based on some kind of magical charts or gizmos? No. We know it's a like dead spots in a court or the location of the sun and its height in the sky on any year for the next 5,000 years. Yeah, we know
dead
that,
spots
Jerry.
On the floor are like a secret. The sun is a fiery ball in the sky that everybody can see.
And you're coming out of a game where that home field advantage botched it for CeeDee Lamb.
I guess,
you know, a lot of times, yeah, you might call a defense to the field, and you know the blitz is going to come from the field side or whatever. Yeah. More in college than, in high school. But yeah, I wonder if defensive coordinators up there have to kind of like they'll call a blitz to come from the sun side.
This stadium wasn't built.
Totally could, because you come from the sun side, and then the quarterback can't see the corner
blitz.
Don't you
back up this old man's contention that there's a dead spot called the sun for Cowboys State or Jerry World or whatever. It's not like they built this stadium in the offseason. Like, this thing's been around for like 20 years now, right?
Right. It's like, you know, with baseball, some of those old ballparks, you know, all the sun's in their eye, but right, yeah, they had to build it between the rail yards and the slaughterhouse back in the day.
Right.
And they didn't quite plan for it. Where these days, yeah, you should think that Jerry Jones, his engineers, when they built that thing, would have heard of Copernicus themselves.
Oh, my God.
I might be a flat earther now. All these billionaires ignoring the basic curvature. Yeah.
Let's give you a little more Jerry Jones on sunlight.
Is this something that you think you have failed to capitalize on with a game plan? Do you need to game plan for this each and every week?
Well, we do. We basically do. We get a big time reports where that sun is going to be during the course of a game. Kellen Moore knew about it. I'm sure he spent a lot of time. Their coordinator, who used to be here, I'm sure he spent a lot of time planning and thinking about where the sun was going to be. You should. And I've seen balls caught with the receiver looking back into the sun out there. I've seen balls dropped. I saw Jason Witten drop a ball. But I've sure seen a lot of opposing teams drop some balls, too. And so it's a part of it. One of the things that I'm emphasizing here is that we know that whether it's snow, rain, sleet, mud, we know that elements play a part of football. You play the game in the elements as long as it's safe for everybody concerned. And so you play it in the elements. This is our stadium's way of having elements.
The sun.
Now he's making it sound like they planned it that way specifically.
He was saying Kellen Moore, who used to be their OC, who's now the OC for the Eagles, spent time game planning the sun.
All right. Well, see, I guess you and I differ. I find it feasible that the sun is very much a consideration. I do believe that. I just think that he's overstating the benefit of it, and also whether they've even, he can't even say for himself whether they've actually benefited from
you,
it or
you
not.
Think, no, he, no, he clearly said, he clearly said both teams get harmed. Like, it's not a benefit. Yeah. He's like, Jason Witten dropped some passes. I've seen opposing guys drop passes.
Yeah.
Well, then it's, you and I are in agreement on, like, the fact that he's saying this is something that the Cowboys can game plan around. Like, the sun is not going to move for you. You know,
by the end there, he had talked himself into that he was innovative in this regard, that he created a natural barrier or an element. Is that, you know, if they couldn't use the heat to their advantage, they'll harness the power of the sun.
Okay. Where you and I differ is the part, I think, where, and confirm this for me, and you've been in game planning meetings more than I have, obviously. I think it's ludicrous to think that Kellen Moore spent more than 5 minutes thinking about the sun at Jerry World this week Cowboys.
Well, you got to remember, it's Jerry's idea of what extensive time is.
Okay.
I don't know how much time Jerry puts into anything. So other than to say, hell yeah, sign that deal. Yeah. And then he fires his six guns in the air. Yeah.
Hey, what he did do, clearly he had somebody go find how many games they've played in the window.
Yeah,
the time window, not the actual literal window. The time window where the sun would have been a factor. 52 games, and we've won a majority of those. Well, yeah, you won a majority of those because A, it's your home field, and B, you've been a good regular season team for most of that time.
Right, right.
I don't think it was the sun that won games for you.
It does, but the other part too is it's only for a limited number of minutes during the game that it's actually shining in somebody's face.
Correct. correct. Yeah, it's not there all 3 hours.
I'm guessing it comes into player discussion when the field is like that.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of time that people spend or have to spend trying to figure it out, I don't think it's probably all that great.
Yeah. Rex Ryan yesterday on, I think this was on First Take or Get Up, he had an interesting proposal. If Mike McCarthy, and we're going to see a lot of this if Colorado keeps winning, and if Shedeur Sanders, and if the Cowboys are in position to draft Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
But Rex Ryan had a proposal for the Cowboys yesterday.
In my opinion, like, how are you going to fix it? Well, I look at a couple of teams recently. All right, I look at the Lions. Who'd they hire? One of their former players,
right? Mm-hmm.
Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Okay. How about the Houston Texans?
Former
player. Right down the road. Former player, one of their former players.
DeMeco Ryans.
DeMeco Ryans. All right. I can see Aaron Glenn going to New Orleans next year. All right. Or the Jets. You know, a former player. All right. Deion Sanders may be in play here.
Deion Sanders to the Cowboys, Seth. Your thoughts?
I'm not going to count out Deion as a viable choice for any coaching position.
Doing a good job this year, man.
No, and honestly, with all the bluster and fanfare last year, obviously it was premature, but I think that with Deion, where people underestimate him, is his ability to kind of practice tough love as a coach. I think they look at his recruiting tactics and all of that, and they, you know, you got to also recognize that, you know, with the same offensive line questions and everything that they had last year, he figures out a way to get the best out of guys.
I think if Deion hired two good coordinators, he could do a good job there. I think there could be the comp, I think, is Dan Campbell. Because I don't think Deion's going to get into he's not going to get down deep in the X's and O's on either side of the football. I don't think he's looking to call plays on defense or anything like that. I think it would be a Dan Campbell type thing where he's setting the culture, he's setting the vibe, he's establishing the energy. He's the one that's probably similar to D'Amico here and Dan Campbell there, that are kind of sniffing out getting the right kind of guys that they want.
Yeah.
I think that could work.
I'll tell you the other thing, too. You have this unique challenge in Dallas where you have an owner that brings and invites all the hoopla in. And Michael Irvin has pointed to that. I mean, he came right out and said it on Joe Buck's podcast, that there's just, it's so much extra pressure on a coach who's trying to maintain a certain level of professionalism because of all of that extra added nonsense. It's just really hard to operate. And I think Deion might be the guy who's most capable because he actually invites that atmosphere himself.
He does.
So,
yeah.
You know, that might be the perfect person. The antidote to Jerry Jones is just more Jerry Jones.
Yeah. 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 I think it could work. I think it could work there.
I don't know about drawing the New Orleans connection with Aaron Glenn as a former player. I felt like that was a little bit specious by Rex Ryan there.
He played
four games the very last year of his career.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how long was Dan Campbell with Detroit?
I don't think long, was he? I saw people up in arms about once the Sunday Night Football Twitter account did a side-by-side of D'Amico as a player in his Texans uniform and then on the sideline as a coach. He looks healthier and fitter now.
Yeah.
He's like leaner. He looks exactly the same age but leaner.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
But Lions fans were angry that they hadn't done it with Dan Campbell yet. They did. They did, like an hour later.
Yeah, don't worry. He's going to get his equal time. All right, headlines. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans, an update on Nico Collins as the Texans get ready for the Cowboys. How many people were watching on Sunday? Lots. We've got that for you. And we got some Astros updates for you as well. Some hardware for an Astro favorite. We've got that coming up in headlines next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans. And D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. The team is off today. And then they practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They'll travel to Arlington on Sunday. And then Monday Night Football should be a whole lot of fun against the Dallas Cowboys. Here was the update yesterday on wide receiver Nico Collins.
No setback with Nico. That was just a game time decision. Yeah, I anticipated him practicing. Anytime you get a starting receiver back, and Nico, a guy who's been, you know, before he was out, he was the top receiver in the league. So I think anytime you get him back, he's going to help everybody.
Do you think, assuming no setbacks, do you think Nico Collins plays on Monday?
Yeah, I think this just follows too much the normal path that they do with a lot of guys coming off of IR or otherwise bigger injuries. They practice them on Friday as a way to get a football type workout and then recover from it and then go on into the full week. So we'll see. Starting tomorrow, which they'll treat like a normal Wednesday practice. I would expect to see Nico out there.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of this. I don't think I realized that there were people that with the report with Aaron Wilson, had a report that Nico had actually been fully healthy, but they just want to be conservative with it. That there would be people that were upset that Nico didn't play on Sunday if he was feeling ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm so okay with being really conservative with hamstring injuries that I want guys to feel great for like 2 or 3 weeks before they attempt an in-season comeback from a hamstring.
Yeah, yeah. I think probably a function of a couple things there. One, you've had hamstring injuries as a professional football player before, so you probably understand the player side of it a little better. I think the other thing, too, is I think people were angry about the outcome of the game, feeling like Nico would have been the difference in that game.
Right. You know? And why didn't you play him?
Why didn't you play him?
Yeah, with hamstrings especially. Yeah, we've just seen it over and over again. Guys try to come back too early, and they get injured again.
Sure.
So, I'm all for and endorse always. If they feel like, nope, he needs to be healthy completely for one more week, yep, it's frustrating. Probably could have won that game without him, but hopefully you have him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, weigh in on that. The 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. I'm curious how our listeners feel about that, about Nico not playing in that game. I wonder if it were the Colts game instead of the Lions game on Sunday, if he would have played, just because empirically the importance of that game in the division versus, I think
really don't think many coaches think that way, or at least they try hard not to. It's almost impossible for it not to creep into at least your subconscious a little, I think. But I think that when it comes to the injury side of things, it's not just propaganda or cliches they're spitting out when they say they want to keep the big picture in mind. It is that you know that you're tempted to want to play a guy for a more important game, so you got to guard against that.
Yeah.
Because as a coach, your tendency is like, yeah, I know that I want him out there right now, but I gotta wait.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they try not to make decisions based on that type of stuff the way they wouldn't like the NBA.
Texans putting asses in seats, or at least in front of televisions, them and the Lions. Most watched Week 10 Sunday Night Football game in 5 years. So since 2019, 19.3 million viewers on average for this Sunday Night Football game. There's a lot of star power in that game, man. A lot of star power,
but also, yeah, the two teams that had a lot of offseason hype.
Yeah.
You've got quarterbacks, where I think I was debating whether or not, where do I put Jared Goff right now in the category of name quarterbacks? He's very much a name because he's been
into Super Bowl teams
and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't think people put him up into that upper echelon of elite quarterbacks.
I don't think people go out of their way to watch like Jared Goff. You know, as solid as he's been, I don't think he's a. I don't know that they're tuning into the Lions like, yeah, I got to sit down and watch Jared Goff for 60 minutes here.
So it's two hyped up teams playing each other. There were 7 interceptions in the game. And the weird thing about that is that it didn't feel like a sloppy football game to me.
No.
I didn't feel like, oh boy, what a mess. What is this, Thursday Night Football? I just felt like it was a really competitive game, and there was a huge comeback in the second half. So a lot of people tuned in.
Dude, well, the interceptions were by and large kind of spectacular.
Even on the poorly thrown balls, they were still impressive interceptions.
Like Kamari Lassiter's catch down on the one-yard line was impressive. That was Kalen Bullock. Kalen Bullock's always impressive going up and getting a football. And the two Carlton Davis interceptions, super impressive, like diving catches. So I think maybe that had something to do with it, is that it felt like those interceptions were earned. They weren't just thrown right on the guy's numbers.
Even the field goals, and as much as this pains me to talk about all this because it was very much benefiting the Lions, but the field goals were razor's edge. Field goals, yeah. They add that much extra juice to the game.
Yeah. So how about that? In 5 years, Week 10, the most watched Week 10 Sunday Night Football game in 5. Feels like a very specific stat. This is the most watched
Week 10
Sunday Night Football game in 5 years.
In the last five years.
Seth, yeah, will take it. There was a time where not that many people outside of Houston or even in Houston were watching the Texans not all that long ago, so we will take it. A little bit of Astros news. Congrats to Jose Altuve. He, for the 7th time in his career, has been recognized as the top hitter at his position. Silver Slugger Award for Jose Altuve. No Silver Slugger for Yordan, Yiner, or Alex Bregman. They were all finalists at their positions for the American League. But Jose Altuve, man, in his mid-30s, Still cranking out Silver Slugger Awards.
God, he's got so many options for home defense with all those silver bats laying around. It's one thing if you're a burglar and all of a sudden the homeowner is coming at you with an aluminum bat.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I can duck and dodge.
You think?
If Altuve's coming at me with a silver bat, I'm a goner.
It is a more prestigious alloy, silver.
Yeah,
and I believe the bat is like I think the trophy is is like a little, I don't know if it's a perfectly like simulated bat. I think it might be a little wider. You know what I mean?
So oh, really?
I think it might be. I got to take a look at it. I'm not sure. But yeah, that would be awfully scary. Hey, we didn't touch on this Monday or Tuesday, but as long as we're talking about the Astros on what's kind of a light headline day, Reggie Jackson has left the organization. What was your gut reaction when you saw that Reggie Jackson was leaving the Astros? I think he's just leaving to move back to California and do what older people do, you know, kind of chill and hang out and be an old person.
I don't know. I kind of let a, okay. I guess I was never 100% certain of just everything that Reggie Jackson did in the organization.
Right.
He was a big part of the voice, like he was weighing in on personnel decisions. And yeah, I felt like, okay, I don't know. I didn't have an emotional response to it because I didn't want to like hate on Reggie Jackson.
No.
I was pulled back, but I do think that Jim Crane has been a little too swayed too much by people who are dead set against anything new in baseball.
I love Reggie Jackson. My mom went to high school with Reggie Jackson, so I mentioned that to Reggie when I saw him at an event, and he said, "Yes, I remember your mom, Judy." And I said, "Hey, whoa."
He said. Oh, yeah, I remember Judy. And then he looked off to the side.
And then I slapped him.
A little smile on his face. Yeah.
He did go to high school with my mom. But I have no ill will towards Reggie Jackson. But I viewed it as positive, like that this is these multiple voices in the organization have not been a good thing. You know, like it led to the worst offseason the Astros have had in this window. Yeah. And we got news today that Jeff Bagwell was dialing back his duties with the team too. And I love Jeff Bagwell. He was in the same conference as me in Connecticut. I got all these connections to these guys. But I would much rather this be an owner, GM, manager driven organization again. You know,
let it be Dana Brown's team.
Yes. That's where I'm at. All right. Those are your headlines and a little bit of my family history, right there at 6:45. Okay. Signs that D'Amico Ryans is really having to kind of weather the storm right now. Boy, we could really use a win here on Monday against the Dallas Cowboys. The questions he's getting at press conferences, I think, is a big sign. And we'll have that for you coming up next. We'll let you listen to D'Amico coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.